Oh, you're in Palm Springs, huh?
Yeah.
You live down there? Or?
Yeah, I bounce back and forth from L.A. to Palm Springs.
Sounds rough.
I like it. Yeah, it's, well, you know what? In the summer, it actually really is. It gets up to like 115. Yeah, it's boiling. Matt Sorum lives here, and Alice Cooper has a place here, and a lot of actors and ex-presidents, they all live here.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
So where were you born?
I was born in a little town in Alabama, about 45 minutes outside of Birmingham. It's technically Rattlesnake Mountain, but the closest actual town where we would have to drive to get gas or our mail or whatever is called Palmerdale. So most people never heard of Rattlesnake Mountain. Sometimes I just say Palmerdale, but a lot of people never heard of that either.
Yeah, Rattlesnake Mountain, though, does sound a lot cooler anyway.
It does. My dad's still there. He's still on the foot of Rattlesnake Mountain on a lake.
You pretty much grew up there, and when did you start playing guitar? When did you start playing music?
I started in the fifth grade. I put a band together. First of all, let me back up and say my dad was a Birmingham policeman for his whole life, and then he eventually was a U.S. deputy marshal. But while he worked for the city, he worked all the concerts that came to town, every single show. So when I was about fifth grade or so, I started going to shows with him. I started begging him to take me along. And I saw everybody from Van Halen to Kiss to Foreigner, Kansas, ZZ Top, Parliament Funkadelics, the Commodores, whatever was there that night. And it was just this life-changing event every single time. And so I decided to put a little band together and got a couple of kids from the neighborhood, and we tried to play Kiss and Cheap Trick and ZZ Top and all the stuff we loved. We couldn't figure it out because we didn't know what we were doing, so it forced us to just write our own stuff. So I wrote a whole bunch of songs, and we would bang those out and put on shows around the community.
So writing your own stuff, did you kind of, so pretty much just the rock format, or, and I saw that your latest stuff is more classified as Americana. Did you originally start that way, or were you more on just the straight rock side to begin with?
Well, pretty much what I was banging out back then was classic rock before it was classic rock, you know, just kind of three chord rock and roll, like we all grew up loving. But the thing with Americana is it's kind of like the place that people like me go to when they don't fit into pop country, like, you know, Luke Bryan, sugary pop country, or something so off the charts like bluegrass. And if it's like blues bass and has some energy to it, let's say Blackberry Smoke, they would be considered Americana now instead of just straight up rock and roll in a lot of circles.
Okay, no, I totally hear what you're saying. There is it's nice to have that go between, and you can kind of fit in with both the rock and country crowds that way too. Is that a good mix of your audience, is rock and country?
Yeah, I end up getting the call on a lot of country things that come through over here on the West Coast. Like I did, I've opened for Charlie Daniels Band and Lee Bryce and Jared Neiman and all the new guys that come out of Nashville. And then I get, you know, I did like 44 Lynyrd Skynyrd shows, and I don't know how many ZZ Top shows, maybe 80. I don't know. It's been a ton of them. But you know, if ZZ Top came out right now, they would be considered Americana. That stuff kind of floated in between, like Mexican Blackbird and all those songs. Some of that stuff floated in between country and rock.
Your latest one, Alabastard, which, love the name, man. That's just so cool. kind of a Alabama bastard, I saw. You know, you just kind of the hybrid word.
Yeah. It just came to me one day, and you know what I did the next day? I woke up the next day and trademarked it, because I looked it up, and nobody had ever said it before, and I couldn't believe it. So I thought it was a cool word.
Yeah, $1 million idea there, man. You got a lot of big talent with you on that record? Who were some of those guys? Billy Gibbons, of course, and then yeah, didn't you have Skynyrd members and all that too?
Yeah, Ricky Medlock, the lead guitar player from Lynyrd Skynyrd, actually played on my last two albums. And Steve Ferrone, the drummer from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. They call him the new kid, but he was in the band for 27 years. So that's how long they were together. But yeah. He played the drums, and it was a cast of characters. The bass player is in Elvis Costello's band, plays bass for Elvis Costello. So it was a lot of cool people.
Running the gamut, man. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good, yeah. What I've heard of it. To be honest, no, until I got the word that it was you coming, I hadn't heard of you. So I checked you out, and I'm really digging what you're doing. So,
thank you.
You got it. You got it. How many albums do you have out total?
Well, I was in a band in the '90s called Slick Lily, and we put out four, and we toured with everybody from Ted Nugent to Bad Company to Black Crowes, everybody. And then that disbanded, and I moved over to mostly songwriting, and I just took a long break from playing. I still played shows, but I was mainly focusing on just writing, and I moved to Nashville, and my focus kind of changed. And then I decided to make another record, and it was called Salt of the Earth. That was a few years ago. And now Alabastard is number two. And I'm about to do a third one. Me and Billy Gibbons are already talking about it.
Very cool. How'd you end up meeting up and becoming buddies with him?
I think it was about 12 years ago or 13 years ago. We ran into each other at a car show, and we started talking. We exchanged numbers, and then we started every now and then getting together at various Mexican joints. He loves Mexican spots. And L.A. has plenty of them. So we started getting together, and we started writing. Those are his favorite places to write, loud, noisy restaurants. So we started writing music, and we've written a few songs together over the years. And one was on his last record, on the last ZZ Top record called Flying High. And then the other ones are sitting on the tarmac ready to take off one day when, you know, they decide to put them on the next ZZ Top stuff. They're recorded and in the can, but it started out like that. We have such a kinship. Every time we hang, we find out something new about each other. Like, we have the exact same birthday, December 16th, stuff like that. We're real connected. We have a lot of things in common.
You were already a big fan of his then when you met him, I'm sure, right?
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, when I went to one of his shows with my dad when I was in the fifth grade, he signed a little thing for me and gave me a guitar pick, and I still have that guitar. That was my lucky little mojo pick when I started my little band in the fifth grade. I would play with his, but I still have it.
Some good inspiration for you, I'm sure.
Yeah, so it's kind of mind-blowing every night when I, you know, after the show, and I go back there to his dressing room, and we're hanging out and stuff, and I have to remind myself, wow, I had posters of this guy on my wall my whole youth.
Yeah, that's got to be a trip.
Yeah, now I just think of him as, you know, the bearded wonder.
So, yeah, we got you June 30th. You're going to be in Iowa, Fort Dodge, with ZZ Top. What can the average concert goer expect when they come to see you play?
Well, we're pretty we do a lot of bucking and snorting. We're soaking wet by the second song. I mean, we're into it. So they will hear some three chord rock and roll with some slide and some that kind of stuff that hopefully gets everybody on their feet. Every ZZ Top show we've ever opened, we get a standing ovation at the end. That sounds cocky coming from me, but I'm as in shock as anybody else because, you know, I'm just up there doing what I do. And you just, when you go out and open for an iconic band like that, you just hope that it works. And you're not certain that it'll work. You think it will. And you get out there and you cross fingers that people get you. And by the end of it, everybody standing, fists are in the air, the place goes crazy, and that's a hard band to open for. I mean, people are sitting there, you know, looking at their watches, ready to hear Tush and LaGrange and Sharp Dressed Man, and they don't know who I am in a lot of markets, and so I have to prove myself. So what they're going to see in Iowa is us working our tails off to make sure they remember we were there, too.
You got an Instagram account, right?
Yeah, it's called Austin Hanks Official.
Okay, and do you do Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff too, or?
Facebook, yeah, is Austin Hanks 1, and I dabble in Twitter. I don't go on it that much.
It's a little confusing to me. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little more like just, you know, for a simple statement or something. Most people that I know want to see pictures and stuff. You know, what have you and Billy up to? That kind of thing. But one thing I should note is that I had 6 songs in a show called Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
That FX show, the motorcycle show.
Absolutely, yeah.
So a lot of people know me through that. So some people would wonder how would I know this guy? That sounds familiar. They're probably a Sons of Anarchy fan.
Yeah. So 6 songs out of there, and I assume you're a fan of the show yourself.
Yeah.
Of those 6, what was your favorite moment that one of your songs was playing? Was there just like any surreal moment where you're like, no way that's happening when that's, you know, and you're hearing yourself?
Yeah, there was one. There's a song called Alabama Clay, and I'm trying to recall what the scene was because it's been a little while since I've pulled all that up. But it was kind of mind blowing because I love all those characters and stuff. You know, and those familiar haunts that they hang out in, and there's my music playing on the jukebox while they're, you know, shooting a pool or whatever. I'm excited about this. I'm really fired up.
Yeah, we are too, man. The guys have been kind of letting me hang on who he's got, you know, who he's got opening, and there's still one more slot that they're waiting on, but I'm happy they got you, man. From what I've checked out, I'm really anxious to see you play.
Oh, man, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm a lefty, so don't watch too close, because I play a left-handed guitar. I take a right-handed guitar and just flip it over. I don't reverse the strings.
Oh, wow.
So it may give you a headache if you watch too close.
So it's almost like you're playing it just upside down from what people normally do, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. And, I mean, people come up at the end of the thing a lot of times and go, what are you doing? I can't understand. So it's kind of like what Freddie King did.
That's crazy. Yeah, no, I'll, thanks for the warning there.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, that's
bring
awesome.
Your sunglasses.
the cheap ones.
Yes, the very cheap ones.
All right, excellent. Well, yeah, again, Saturday, June 30th, Shellebration with ZZ Top, Austin Hanks opening up. Dude, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with me.
Man, thank you so much, and I can't wait to hug on you in person. It'll be fun.
Hell yeah, looking forward to meeting you, dude.
All right, well, let's crank it up when we get there.
For sure, man. I am definitely down.
Alrighty.
All right. Thanks again, man. You have a good one.
Thank you. See you later.